This podcast is brought to you by our Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. Order it at HowieCarShow.com/Thor. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
I mean, I think we're dealing with a serious enough situation right now that if there's an unvaccinated person, I would say I'm very sorry, but not this time. Maybe another time when this is all over.
Consider yourself uninvited.
I've got a confession. I'm sick of COVID. I'm sick of hearing about it. I'm sick of reading about it. I'm sick of talking about it. And I am definitely sick of reporting on it.
It's made me more cynical, more bitter, more jaded.
Live from the Matthews Brothers studio.
That old expression, make lemonade out of lemons.
You just got citric acid in my eye.
We brought together business and labor leaders to solve problems. And the much predicted crisis didn't occur. Packages are moving. Gifts are being delivered. Shelves are not empty.
Fake.
I'm stunned. I'm shocked.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. 844-500-4242. I've got to hear that, Jared, that historic average cut again. Can we hear that again? Cut 9.
Gas prices in 21 states now are at their historic averages before the pandemic. Historic averages. That's good news for Americans.
This is further complicated by saying historic averages before the pandemic. First, historic average does not make sense on its own, but he threw in the qualifier before the pandemic, as if the pandemic is not part of our history, and gas prices don't count after. Good God. Oh, my God. I'm going to lose sleep over trying to think of what a historic average is. Oh, goodness gracious. 508 says, were you referring to the song Snoopy versus the Red Baron, Snoopy and the Red Baron by the Royal Guardsmen? That doesn't seem to be a Christmas song. Now, I know where 508's confusion comes in, because I believe the Royal Guardsmen did two Red Baron songs. One of them was, I think, The Return of the Red Baron. And then there was Snoopy versus the Red Baron, which was their Christmas sequel to their original hit song. So the sequel, I think, overshadowed the original version and became the bigger hit. But it is a Christmas song because it's during World War One, where on the troops, I believe, in France and Germany, they called a treaty on Christmas Day, and they played football and whatnot.
Yeah, the Christmas Truce, mm-hmm. 1914.
And, the call went out on the First World War, and Snoopy was chasing the Red Baron, and the Red Baron had him in his sights but didn't shoot him, and he passes by and goes, Merry Christmas, my friend! It's a Christmas. The chorus is Christmas bells, those Christmas bells ringing through the air. It's a Christmas song. Go back and listen to it. And it's a good song. It's a good novelty song, and one of the best novelty Christmas songs out there. It's not on our annoying novelty song Christmas list. 844-500-4242. Before we take any more calls or delve into any more topics, it is time for the Chump Line.
Joe Biden saved Christmas, and COVID-19 was not created in a laboratory.
Yeah, and it did not produce an historically average amount of deaths for a virus. Yeah, those were two false. Can we hear Psaki saying that again? Cut 20, Jared.
Arriving on time this year. Good news, we've saved Christmas.
Yay!
Welcome Christmas.
He is the... Again, Joe Biden is the Grinch. The Grinch caused the problems of Whoville, and then he returned all the presents. He stole them, then he brought them back. Joe Biden is the Grinch. He's putting all the jobs back that were taken from the pandemic, and he's taking credit for it. He's this hero of Whoville.
Little Cindy Lou Who's hair smelled like sugar plums.
Go ahead.
Oh, man, Taylor. I can't believe they want us to get tested to go to Christmas. I mean, COVID would be the least transmissible disease I gotta worry about.
Oh, boy. You are only allowed to go to a Christmas party that is attended by Hunter Biden. And that's, I don't know, there aren't too many Kennedys from that era left. There aren't any, really. So yeah, just you and Hunter Biden alone at the Christmas table. Chump Line is brought to you by Matthews Brothers, America's oldest window manufacturer. This week, sending a huge shout out to our dealers throughout New England. Thanks to you, and actually because of you, our entire team at Matthews Brothers will be getting an extra week's vacation this year. After 9 months of overtime, they deserve it. Merry Christmas.
God rest ye unvaccinated. Fauci's on his way to make sure that you stay home alone all on Christmas Day. You won't have any fun, you see, if Fauci has his way. Oh, tidings of sickness and death, sickness and death. Oh, tidings of sickness and death.
Very good. Excellent. 508 says the four Royal Guardsmen 45s, the 1966 hit singles Snoopy versus the Red Baron, The Return of the Red Baron, Snoopy for President, and the Christmas follow-up Snoopy's Christmas. Wow. So which was the original? I'll have to do my research.
Yeah, I'm looking forward this year to watching the Pfizer Booster Shot Bowl. Gonna be on pretty soon. If you miss it, don't worry. It's played four times a year.
I'm not sure I get that one.
He's saying that the booster shot is going to sponsor one of the college bowl games.
I get it. Okay. Not bad.
Voices that were separated at birth. Charlie Parker and Charlie in the Box from Rudolph.
Did he not listen to my interview yesterday? That exclusive with Charlie Parker? Maybe we can just get a little snippet of that, because I saw that, and I saw it last year, the coincidence, and I said it's uncanny, their first names are even the same. So I had an exclusive interview with Charlie Baker yesterday, and you may have confused that for an interview with Charlie in the Box, but I assure you it wasn't. Governor, I was just listening in on your press conference and was wondering if I could ask you a few questions.
Halt! Who goes there?
Nobody, really. I just work for the Howie Carr Show. Is it all right if I ask you a few questions now?
Oh, well, then that's okay. Okay, who, may I ask, are you?
All right. Yeah, that was...
There's a lot at stake here.
Same guy from the 1961, 62 Rankin Bass special. Not a Christmas movie. It's a Christmas special. It's not a film. It was never released in a theater originally. Go ahead.
Yeah, when you started the show today, Taylor, you said that you're filling in for the big guy. Can we all assume that Biden gets 10% of today's receipts?
That's on the low end. He usually calls for 50 from Hunter.
10%'s the historic average of what he gets.
Yeah.
Just keeps giving.
I don't get that.
Joe Biden's brain was three sizes too small.
The caller got it. He saw it before I did, that Joe Biden is the Grinch. Three sizes too small. But then in the Grinch story, his heart grows is two sizes too big.
Myocarditis.
That's myocarditis, exactly. He took the vaccine.
Yeah, Joe Biden, there's no such thing as empty shelves, just empty suits.
Boy, is that ever true. He is the empty suit of empty suits. And that's evidenced by cut. Let's see here. Should have worn my glasses today. It's Just Say No cut, Jared. Where is that? Cut 14.
Industry petitioning the Supreme Court.
to repeal your vaccine mandate. They think that it's going to harm the supply chain recovery. What do you say?
I say no. Thank you.
That must have been one of the questions on the Do Not Ask list. That was a walk-away question, but he couldn't walk away because he was sitting down behind a table. There's no cool way to get up from behind a table and like, drop the mic. You can't do it. Can't be done.
If you don't have empty shelves, you just haven't been looted yet.
That's a very negative way of looking at things, caller.
Yeah, Taylor, this is Jimmy Stewart calling. You were baiting Jar Jar Jared with your Art Carney talk yesterday. You want to know why I wasn't in that holiday special? Because Star Wars sucks. And that goes for Star Trek, too.
Oh, Jimmy. He used to be a lot nicer. He used to be the gentleman of Hollywood. And now he's an old curmudgeon calling from the grave. Star Trek and Star Wars suck. He's jealous. He's just jealous, that's all.
Jen Psaki said the supply chain crisis is over. There'll be plenty of death and doom for everyone.
Death and doom, severe illness, death, plenty to go around this Christmas season.
Every time an unvaccinated dies, an angel gets his wings.
That was your last chump line message. Thank you for calling Howie Carr, you chump.
That is the chump line, the voicemail message system of the Howie Carr Show. Call 844-500-4242, press 2 to access the chump line. Leave your message. We may or may not play your message at this time each weekday. And if we don't play your message, you may find it on our podcast version of the chump line, which is Chopped Chumps. That's all the dropped messages, the ones that were left on the cutting room floor. We picked them up, stitched them together, threw them all into Chopped Chumps, available wherever you get your Howie Carr Show podcast. And it's usually posted a few minutes after 7 o'clock each weeknight. The Chump Line, as always, brought to you by Matthews Brothers, America's oldest window manufacturer. This week, sending a huge shout out to our dealers throughout New England. Thanks to you, and actually because of you, our entire team will be getting an extra week's vacation this year. After 9 months of overtime, they deserve it. Merry Christmas.
God rest ye unvaccinated. Fauci's on his way to make sure that you stay home alone all on Christmas Day. You won't have any fun, you see, if Fauci has his way. Oh, tidings of sickness and death, sickness and death. Oh, tidings of sickness and death.
One of the most underrated Christmas carols. 844-500-4242. You're listening to The Howie Carr Show.
He's the smartest guy in the room.
I think Papa has it all figured out. Figured out and wrapped up in tissue paper with pink ribbons on it.
Howie Carr is back.
I'm doing a little reading on the Royal Guardsmen and their Snoopy Red Baron songs. The first one was Snoopy versus the Red Baron. That's the Christmas one that we all know and love. Call went out on the First World War. Then there was The Return of the Red Baron the same year, and I believe on the same album as Snoopy versus Red Baron. Then in 67, Snoopy versus Red Baron came out in 66. 67 saw Snoopy's Christmas, and 68 saw Snoopy for President. 72, another version of Snoopy for President. Actually, I think they just re-released those albums. In 2006, they came out with Snoopy versus Osama. Song about Osama bin Laden. I listened to a little bit of it. It's not great, but I mean, it was in the vein of, you know, pretty much a Toby Keith song featuring the Royal Guardsmen, basically. 844-500-4242. Today's poll question is brought to you by Gold Co. Stagflation is making a comeback. Go to goldco.com/Howie Carr to request your free IRS loophole guide and learn how you can protect your wealth and take control of your retirement. That's goldco.com/Howie Carr. Jared, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
What is the most annoying novelty Christmas song? All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth the Chipmunk Song, Dominic the Donkey, I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas, or Nuttin' for Christmas?
Dominic the Donkey.
Dominic the Donkey holding at 27%. The Chipmunk Song up slightly to 29%. Third place to I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas at 19%. 17% for All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth. And 8% for Nuttin' for Christmas.
See, I didn't choose the Alvin and the Chipmunk Song because there's a good antidote for that. And it's a Bob Rivers parody. The Twisted Christmas albums, I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with those. He didn't just have the one 12 Pains of Christmas song. There are many more songs that parody actual Christmas songs. And one of them is the Twisted Chipmunk Song. And it has a follow-up called Chipmunks Roasting on an Open Fire. And the singer who does that one sounds almost exactly like Nat King Cole. It's very eerie. A few more of these stats. This memo that is going out from the White House to Dems on the Hill and their allied groups. Again, so far we've been over the Americans that are fully vaccinated, the American adults that are fully vaccinated, and the schools that are open. Both cases had pretty much nothing to do with Joe Biden except for the fact that he was there. He was a placeholder. Another stat he's putting out, why you're better off today than you were a year ago under Trump. Before President Biden took office, the unemployment, 6.3 and not projected to reach 4.2% unemployment till the end of 2024. It is 4.2%. Again, nothing to do with Joe Biden. He's just there. The pandemic is wavering. People are finding more ways to get back to work. Before President Biden took office, over 18 million were receiving unemployment benefits. Only 2 million are now. Again, it was the height of the pandemic. People were looking for any and every excuse to get out of work, working from home, or just couldn't work at all because of the scarcity of things and the pandemic itself, that just the nature of it. It was in quite the onslaught in the early to middle days, the historical average of the pandemic. And before President Biden took office, Moody's estimated 2021 GDP growth at 2.9%. Today, it's on pace for growth of 5 to 6% growth, the best since 1984. Again, nothing to do with Joe Biden. He was just there. That's all. The man who was but wasn't there. John, you're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Taylor.
Man, how you doing?
Great job. Great job. I really enjoy when you fill in for Howie.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you.
However, I cannot believe that nobody hasn't mentioned Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time.
That's not a novelty song. That's not a novelty song.
Oh, yes, but can we all just agree it's absolutely putrid?
Is it, though, Simply Having a Wonderful... I mean, it's a cheery song. I don't find it that distasteful. I know a lot of people bag on it like it's a Nickelback song for some reason, but I don't find it that reprehensible. Maybe I'm in the minority. I don't know. We'll be back. Much more to come here on the Howie Carr Show.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. I'm Taylor Cormier, Howie's executive producer, filling in for Howie. He's out for the remainder of this week and all of next week as well. He'll be back after the new year. 844-500-4242. I want to get to these Elon Musk cuts here. I've been teasing them for a couple of hours. We'll play them now. And it's pretty good. So Elon Musk, eccentric billionaire, the guy's an absolute genius. Started Tesla from the ground up, started SpaceX from the ground up. Two innovative companies that are really propelling America. Never mind Joe Biden's infrastructure or Build Back Better. Elon Musk is doing more for the world than anything Joe Biden's proposals could do, and may prevent some of what Joe Biden's proposals could do. Elon Musk is, I can tell you, I never really cared for him. Not that I found him to be egregious or anything. I didn't buy into him. I thought he was a little too eccentric, a little too crazy. The whole smoking weed on Joe Rogan's podcast, he didn't always exert the greatest judgment in certain situations, played with the stocks for Tesla, affected a lot of people, and yet I believe he ended up selling his shares and he's paying a huge amount in taxes, the most any American has ever paid, the most any person on planet Earth has ever paid. Joe Biden would call it an historical average tax payment that Elon Musk is putting out, $11 billion this year. So he got into this Twitter feud with Elizabeth Warren. She said that he was pretty much a do-nothing. He escaped his taxes. He doesn't pay anything. He's freeloading off of the American people. So he got into it with her over Twitter over the past week, and we all know what happened. He called her out and said, you know, you're a fake Indian. And he said, don't call the manager on me, Senator Karen. And he set her straight and said, I'm going to literally pay the most taxes anybody has ever paid in the history of the world, $11 billion. And not a peep was heard from Elizabeth Warren. And Elon Musk was asked about that on the Babylon Bee podcast yesterday. Here it is, cut 24.
Well, you were pretty mean to Senator Warren, though, on Twitter recently. You slammed her, man. Please don't call the manager on me, Senator Karen.
She struck first,
yeah,
obviously.
Right.
Yes, she did.
She called me a freeloader.
Yeah.
And a grifter who doesn't pay taxes, basically. And I'm literally paying the most tax that any individual in history has ever paid this year, ever. And she doesn't pay taxes. Basically at all, and her tax and her salary is paid for by the taxpayer, like me.
Could you even use use TurboTax?
Irony?
Would that even work?
If you could die by irony, she would be dead.
Yeah, she would be dead. She's the professor that claimed she was Native American on her job application, so she got a professorship at Harvard. And was making quite a handsome salary for showing up maybe once a week, and was basically a no-show job at Harvard, teaching this ridiculous class that she was teaching. And then she wormed her way into a Senate seat and has stuck there ever since. Haven't been able to get rid of her, still claiming she's a Native American. And she's trying to call out people that are actually working for her cause. She's part of this whole Green New Deal. She may not have sponsored Green New Deal, but she ran as president. She wanted green initiatives. She wanted to lower our carbon footprint. And here's a guy who's literally making cars that, yes, they're still using fossil fuels, basically, to run. Even though they run on electricity, the electricity is sourced by fossil fuels by and large. He's not responsible for the fuel source. He's responsible for how they run and if it's a quality product being pushed out into the market. And it's become one of the most valuable companies. The market cap hit over $1 trillion this past year, which is remarkable. Elon Musk is the richest man in the history of the world. Jeff Bezos would have been, except his wife took just about half of everything he owns. Elon Musk is working towards those initiatives, and she's trying to take him down a peg and swipe him off at the knees. It didn't work. Fell flat on its face. He took her down quite handily, and Twitter agreed with him when he got into that argument. It was quite funny. And he was also asked about wokeness. I'm not sure if Elon Musk if they've tried to cancel him. I don't think so. But he knows a lot of people that were canceled or people tried to cancel them. And he was asked about that on the Babylon Beat podcast. This is Cut 26, Matt.
You're working on some of those problems, but the problem of wokeness specifically, you mentioned that's like a mind virus and it's destructive. And why do you think wokeness is so destructive?
I'm interested in your opinions, too. But, you know, like, I mean, generally, I think we should be aiming for, like, a positive society and, you know, that it should be okay to you know, be humorous, like, you know, like we should wokeness basically wants to make comedy illegal, which is not cool.
We've experienced a little bit of that.
I mean, Chappelle, like, what the
flower bed?
I mean, try to shut down Chappelle. Come on, man, that's crazy. So do we want a humorless society that is simply rife with condemnation and hate, basically?
And no forgiveness, right?
Yeah. At its heart, wokeness is divisive, exclusionary, and hateful. It basically gives mean people a reason, it gives them a shield to be mean and cruel. Mm. Armored in false virtue.
Armored in false virtue. I like that. It gives them a conduit, really, to be mean and to have people go along with it. I don't know where this started, where people started to dissect humor and pick it apart and take it out of context and make it into a hateful thing, because that's not what comedy is. 2021, you could not have a Lenny Bruce. Hell, you couldn't, especially couldn't have a Don Rickles in 2021. I'm surprised they didn't try canceling him while he was still around. You know, 2016, I think that was probably the last of his performing days, but he would have been taken out very quickly if he had started up a few years before 2021. People would have woken up, hey, this guy's a racist, homophobe, xenophobe, everything phobe. He's against everybody. They would have taken him out real quick. Yeah, comedy was, in a lot of those regards, was never meant to be hurtful, especially Dave Chappelle as well. Even speaking in today's context, the things he says, if you watch his specials in the complete context that he presents them in, they're funny. They make sense, and he plays both sides of it, too. It's really astounding. Elon Musk is so, so right. The funniest thing he said, though, this was just when the podcast was starting up, the Babylon Bee. They had requested to interview Elon Musk. He granted them the interview, and it was four guys sitting in a room with Elon Musk, and one of them said, wow, I can't believe we're here right now. What the hell are we doing here? And it enveloped into this conversation right here. This is Cut 25, Matt.
I feel so unqualified to be interviewing you right now. I think we all do. Why are we here? Like, what drew you to, like, you actually sit down with us?
I'm not the one who asked for it. I'm not the one who asked for the podcast. You guys did. Just to be clear, I'm not pushing the podcast on you. You guys came here.
We were like, I will stop by, you know, Texas.
Yeah, just to be clear, who was asking who? I'm not like, you know.
I know.
Didn't exactly hold a gun to your head for this podcast.
Okay? I'd be asking him right now. Sorry, I don't.
You could be on CNN right now.
Yeah.
You know?
John Lennon could
be. A real news organization. Yeah. I'm just throwing it out there. Yeah. I don't know.
No, unfortunately, I just, you know, haven't, you know, I guess, you know, what was it you said? The requirement for being a CNN, job at CNN is.
Are you a pervert?
I'm not perverted enough. Yeah. But I guess. I don't know.
Not a pedophile fan?
I'm not perverted enough to be on CNN. Isn't that great? Who could he be referring to, though? I mean, there's so many perverts. Are we talking about John Griffin over at CNN, longtime producer for Chris Cuomo? He pleaded guilty the other day, by the way, 44 years old, to three counts of child sex trafficking, faces anywhere from 10 to life behind bars. Longtime CNN senior producer John Griffin, he was arrested by the FBI after being charged with shocking sex crimes with girls as young as 9 years old. Michael Drescher, U.S. attorney in Vermont, assistant U.S. attorney, said Griffin has a history of mental illness and substance abuse, and he recently admitted to continuing to use intoxicants. He faces not only a significant loss of liberty, but also extraordinary reputational damage. He has dishonestly tried to talk his way out of being held accountable. The longtime producer and friend of fellow fallen former CNN newsman Chris Cuomo is accused of paying a woman $30,000 for a mother-daughter weekend with him and told authorities that he was ashamed when he was arrested for allegedly abusing a 9-year-old girl and enticing other minors. Last year, Griffin sought out women who identified as sexually submissive and tried to persuade them to allow him to train their minor daughters, ages 9 and 13. He told one parent he had trained girls as young as 7 years of age. One woman, who was the mother of a 9-year-old girl, flew from Nevada to Boston to stay at Griffin's Vermont ski house in July 2020. While the woman and her minor daughter were at the home, Griffin viewed web pages featuring pornographic videos about sex with mothers and daughters. He's also accused of attempting to entice minors over the internet and allegedly stated on several occasions last year that a woman is a woman regardless of her age. Was he talking about that pervert over at CNN, or was he talking about Jake Tapper's producer, who Project Veritas identified as Rick Salibi recently? Another disturbing sex scandal for CNN. Salibi had been quoted by Project Veritas in a 2019 sex scandal involving another CNN producer, Steve Brusk. He had just resigned weeks after being implicated by a network colleague of sexual misconduct and leaked videos. So he's another one. But Salibi is accused in audio recordings by Janine Banani, another CNN producer, about fantasizing about shooting sick pictures of his 14-year-old stepdaughter and asking Banani to send him nude photos of her 15-year-old daughter. The source, who obtained evidence for authorities, came to Project Veritas after she was uncertain proper action would be taken. The producer in question also solicited sexually explicit photos of the source's underage daughter. Was he talking about that pervert? Oh, wait, I have more. Of course, there's one of the top brass over there, as far as anchors go, Chris Cuomo. He was fired. Sexual misconduct allegation against Chris Cuomo. A client came forward to Deborah Katz, attorney, several weeks ago, saying that Cuomo made comments on air relating to caring about sexual harassment issues and following the revelation that he helped his brother, former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, respond to sexual harassment allegations. Hearing the hypocrisy of Cuomo's on-air words and disgusted by his efforts to try to discredit these women, my client retained counsel to report his serious sexual misconduct against her to CNN. She felt that in sharing her story and related documentation, she could help protect other women. Chris Cuomo was initially put on indefinite suspension after the New York State Attorney General released documents showing that he had helped out his brother. That story is still unfolding. Could they be talking about Don Lemon, who groped a straight waiter? Or could they be talking about Jeffrey Toobin, who we all know what Jeffrey Toobin and he did. He's a CNN, was a CNN contributor. I believe he still is, by the way. 844-500-4242. We'll take a break and come right back. I'm Taylor Cormier, filling in for Howie Carr, and this is The Howie Carr Show.
You're listening to The Howie Carr Radio Network. He's fighting for the little guy.
Ask him to go in there with all they've got and win just one for the Kipper.
He's Howie Carr.
Hey, Santa Claus. Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show, 844-500-4242. Paul, thanks for hanging on. You're next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, Taylor, you're doing such a great job. How are you, sir? We miss you down here in New Bedford.
I'm still there, just not on the air on BSM. Well, I actually am. Yeah, I should be right now, aren't I?
Oh, man, you are. Yes, you are. But I'm saying the commute must be... I call the morning show as well and talk to Phil, but now I get a chance to talk to
you. Thank you for reminding me. I have to wish him a happy birthday today. My baby buddy, Phil Paleologus. Happy birthday, my friend.
The New Bedford mayor. Yes, sir.
Huh? Did we lose him?
It's not going to get any better. They keep saying, 2022. But you know what? It's the Omicron today. what's tomorrow, the Mighty-Cron or the Nexicron or whatever it is, because these, like I tell my kids, just be prepared to wear a mask now and be like 85 years old, because...
Yeah, I know it. I know it. Some people, this is never going to be over with. Thanks very much for the call, Paul. And I'm still down in the area. Still live down there. Thank you very much. 844-500-4242. I'm looking over my cut sheet here, and I'm gonna pull some more cuts during the break here, because I see a cut here from Rochelle Walensky. I won't play it right now, but we'll play it after the top of the hour. She's asked about the spread of Omicron, and she has a very, very bizarre answer that I didn't expect from her. I'm just going through some of my notes right now. Joe Biden, this is from Byron York. For Biden, the day of COVID reckoning is coming. And this goes along with what I was saying earlier about the July 4th speech that he made, where we had defeated the virus and we were free from all of its curse. Byron York says Biden has failed to live up to his promises to control the pandemic. During a second debate with then-President Donald Trump, Biden pledged to shut down the virus, and then he tweeted 200, well, he said at the one of the debates, 220,000 deaths. If you hear nothing else I say tonight, hear this. Anyone who's responsible for that many deaths should not remain president of the United States. Byron York goes on to say, well, that's kind of a straw man argument. You cannot blame those deaths on a single person like President Trump. It wasn't his fault that the virus came through our borders. It was going to come no matter what. You cannot blame those deaths solely on Trump, just like you can't blame the deaths that President Biden has seen under his watch on President Biden. But you can sure blame just about everything else. There are an untold number of deaths from depression, anxiety-related issues, alcoholism, opioid use, just being secluded from people that are on people like Joe Biden and Dr. Anthony Fauci because of their constant beating down of the American public. You've got to stay home. You got to do this. You can't do that. During the campaign, Biden promised over and over that he had a comprehensive plan to fight COVID, but there wasn't much to it. The heart of the plan was to distribute the vaccine that was developed under Trump's Operation Warp Speed. That's all he's been doing. Aside from that, just been telling us to mask up and get vaccinated, even though the mask doesn't do anything, even though the vaccine, even with it, you're still able to contract and spread the virus, which is different from natural immunity, where you can still contract the virus, but you're not spreading it on the second infection if you're reinfected with it. He had no plan. I'm Taylor Cormier. This is The Howie Carr Show.